Hello, and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Friday, October 23rd, 2020.
Bitcoin is at 12,960, flat from yesterday. Come on, man, do something. And Ethereum is down just a little bit, down about 0.5% to 409.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Okay, first, Harvest Finance. So the decentralized finance project that has over $1 billion locked in its funds apparently has all the everything with just one admin key. Pat, talk to us about this.
I've used Harvest in the past. We know people that use Harvest. I see it around. It's had pretty good yields actually recently. I mean, I think the Harvest token itself, or the farm token, is at a 200-something% yield on their staking. The way their smart contract is designed is that it's supposed to have a governance contract that essentially controls the main mining contract. This is a really normal structure for DeFi projects. You have a governance contract that actually has all the governance rules as part of it. And then you have one or more, you know, different contracts that handle the staking or whatever. They have a governance contract specified, but they don't actually have a governance contract there. So there's someone just holding a key that would then essentially allow them to do anything that they wanted. The person with that key do anything they want to the smart contracts that power the Harvest ecosystem. Now, they might have just burned that key. It's certainly possible that they took that key and just totally burned it. So it, in fact, is impossible to do anything. But it is much more likely that they are sitting there waiting for there to be enough value locked in there that they could just pull it all out and run for the hills. So I think it's a very smart thing if you are in Harvest right now to get out of it as fast as possible. It is not a safe. It is not a safe place to be. And always look, like, keep up on when you are invested or locked into a particular fund. Always keep up on the latest news. It is incredibly easy for these kinds of things to slip through. So if you weren't watching the news today, you might have missed this. I don't know. At this point in the day. Excuse me. At this point in the day, I didn't look at the news. Like, maybe they already pulled all the funds out, or maybe they didn't. So, I would not put money in Harvest today. I would keep it out forever.
All right. Well, good to know. So PayPal, apparently, rumor is in talks to buy crypto firm BitGo.
So I'll put two things in here. One is a correction on yesterday. Yesterday, I said that I have not used PayPal and none of my friends have used PayPal in years. And today, when I was researching some of the stuff, I saw that PayPal actually bought Venmo. I think it was like a year or two ago now that I looked into it. So I actually totally lied because obviously I've used Venmo. So I will now go back and sort of re-articulate what I said before in a more intelligent way, which is that if PayPal's general strategy when they were getting, you know, really beat up by Venmo was to buy Venmo, they're getting really beat up by crypto, buy BitGo. This makes a lot more sense that this is how they would approach it. They have a lot of money. They have very big cash reserves. They are a publicly traded company, so they have access to bond markets and all these other instruments to get a huge amount of money. Buying BitGo is a good call. I mean, it's a good call to get them an immediate stake. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good call. I could see them buying one or two companies. I could see them buy BitGo because that would give them kind of a stake in business crypto and wallets. And you could kind of do a nice integration inside of PayPal and stuff like that. But I also could see them probably even more likely buying someone like Bread Wallet, who has, you know, now they have an exchange they own. They have a great wallet interface. They have support for a ton of coins and a great news ecosystem around. I think that to me makes a lot more sense would be to go after someone that, because, you know, like PayPal itself traditionally has been more of a consumer oriented company, although recently they obviously do a lot more with businesses and PayPal, eBay sellers and stuff like that. So long story short, I think this is super interesting. I think they certainly have the money to start doing this, to start buying it. I would be surprised if BitGo to me is not the best play. It would be more interesting to do like Bread or do like Coinbase or someone or like one of the smaller exchanges that you could really buy and then be an immediate big player in the crypto space. BitGo is kind of a niche. It's kind of a niche product. Now, it would make sense to me why BitGo is selling. Like BitGo, it's a little bit early for a major product that's doing custodial for enterprises. Like there's just not that many businesses, you know, big enterprise businesses doing coin, holding crypto. So, you know, they've raised $50 million that they have a very high burn rate, lots of employees. You know, you really have to be turning a lot of profit to make that worth it. And I would be surprised if they are. Could be wrong. Don't know. Public or private company. So, you know, maybe BitGo is in more of a position where they're trying to sell to PayPal. And I don't know. We'll see. It's very interesting to see. But I now that I've kind of thought through this a little bit more, my hot take from yesterday, I rescind my hot take and I say that we definitely see PayPal buy someone in the space to basically play catch up. And maybe it works. Maybe PayPal becomes a serious player in the space.
I think it's a smart play by PayPal.
Yeah, definitely. It's how you catch up if you have had trouble doing the development work yourself or been reluctant to.
Or reluctant because of how
regulatory.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So next, yesterday we mentioned a little bit about BitMEX and some of the other exchanges. And so BitMEX is going deeper into DeFi with some new futures listings.
I love this. So BitMEX is going to be listing YFI, Yearn, Polkadot, and Binance against USDT. So it combines two of my favorite things, which is a entire, you know, entire executive board or an entire like a C-suite. That all has arrest warrants out for them with USDT, which is like by far the most shady of the stable coins out there. All while they're pretending that what they're doing does not require KYC AML, although it obviously does because they're trading securities in the US. This is cool. I mean, I don't know. I want to talk about this because it's like, it's just so ridiculous. And I think more people should probably start getting arrested for this. But then on the other hand, I don't want to talk about this because it's like, we shouldn't be giving BitMEX more visibility than they should. Like they need to kind of get back to basics. They need to recenter their business and kind of figure it out and stop being so shady.
Yeah. So, speaking of AML KYC, CoinDesk ran an article today, like more of an opinion piece, but it was very interesting, I thought, about the downsides and the negatives of mandatory AML and KYC laws.
Yeah. We'll tweet out the article so you can read it as well. It was a great article. I mean, at the end of the day, there's a term in economics called rent seeking, which is I would say it's the economist term for corruption in some ways, but it's where you can create systems that essentially lock you into. So this is a very bad example, but for instance, if there was a law that said the USPS is the only company or the UPS is the only company that can deliver mail in the US, that would be a form of rent seeking. It'd be a company that had lobbied and maneuvered to create a law that basically gave them a monopoly. So a lot of the times when you see cable companies, they have this. KYC and AML are very similar to this. What they do is they create a situation where it is incredibly expensive for businesses to start up in a particular space. So finance is one of those. You do not see finance companies start up. The most recent company I can think of for finance that started up outside of like the crypto DeFi space was probably, I mean, you have like Credit Karma, but that doesn't count because they just pull three reports and show them to you. Like the one I can think of was like Ally, which wasn't even a startup. I mean, spun out of GE's loan, or like their industrial loan, their large commercial loan company. So, you know, it is really difficult to start a company in the United States around this. And a lot of that has to do with these KYC AML laws. So when I look at DeFi, like I see a world where anyone can, and that's why you've seen such innovation in the DeFi space. You've seen so many things happening. Yes, you see horrible, horrible things like the Harvest thing we announced, but I mean, there's probably some going to steal a lot of money there. You see really bad stuff like that, but you also see Uniswap and Balancer and Curve and all these great projects are doing really clever price finding mechanisms and market making mechanisms. So, you know, DeFi to me, that's what makes it exciting is it is not purview of these laws. It sort of exists outside of the KYC AML laws that are essentially, you know, they are ostensibly used for some amount of, you know, the thing about KYC AML laws is they say that they're used to stop terrorism and money laundering. All that said, you know, Deutsche Bank still laundered $500 billion worth of money. There was just, you know, a huge piece about other large businesses laundering large investment banks laundering money. These laws don't actually stop. They stop maybe some of the small crime. They don't stop the big crime. So it's like the stuff that really hurts our entire industry, our entire, the entire country and economy doesn't get stopped by KYC laws. You know, people just skirt around those or don't care. So I don't know, like it's a form of rent seeking. It makes it very difficult to enter the financial industry space. It's why DeFi is so exciting. Great article. Go give it a read.
All right. And I will tweet that out later this evening. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at The DeFi Daily. And so you can see links to all the articles that we discussed. Thanks so much.
Take it easy.